Welcome to the Financial Symmetry Podcast. Each episode will cover topics from blog posts, client stories, and industry trends to keep you on top of your finances.
Welcome back. I am your host. Well, I am one of your co-hosts, Chad Smith, and I'm here with our other co-host, Mr. Minnesota himself, Mike Eklund.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, I call him that. It's because it has relevance. His nickname has relevance to how it relates to our show topic today. But before we jump in, I wanted to acknowledge the fact that we've officially crossed the 10-show mark.
Yep, great, good job.
That means that we're actually keeping up with some, or at least one of our goals that we had that we went over in episode 4, I think it was, right? So you can go back and listen to our thoughts there. But just glad that we've made it this far. I hope you're enjoying it and look forward to hearing any feedback that you've got. So we'll go ahead and share our contact info. That would be, our phone number is 919-851-8200. And my email address is csmith@financialsymmetry.com.
And I'm at meklund@financialsymmetry.com.
I know Mike is itching to get to the topic, so why don't you go ahead and kick us off.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. I am excited about this one. We always talk every so often and try to figure out what our next topic was. And we were thinking about it last week, and we haven't talked about estate documents. It's not the most exciting thing to talk about, but with the news of Prince's passing, I thought it'd be a good time to talk about the importance of preparing and reviewing your estate documents on a regular basis. And one of the reasons I brought it up, and Chad mentioned where I am from, is I actually grew up in the same town. Chanhassen, Minnesota is where Prince lived. And so I used to see him occasionally, not a lot, riding his purple motorcycle around town. And one of my initial jobs, I actually delivered a newspaper, and I had the privilege of delivering a newspaper to his house. So I was obviously upset when I heard the news. I enjoy listening to his music, but I was even more upset when I learned, or have learned so far, that is likely that he did not have any a will or any estate documents. That is not to say that one will be found. It's not uncommon to estate documents are found 2 to 3 months after someone passes, but as of this point, they're still not have not located one. So
hold on a second. Did I hear that you were daydreaming about a purple motorcycle when you're living in Minnesota?
That might be true. I'm a Vikings fan as well, so I do like the color purple, but that is a good point for another podcast, I guess. But sneaking back to Prince, the reason why it's important is initial reports put his estate value between 150 to 300 million. And so, just to summarize it, if he's dying without a will, effectively now the state of Minnesota decides how his assets will be distributed. And that's pretty crazy. That's a lot of money for the state to decide. I think I read the other day, Michael Jackson's estate is still under dispute. And so this is something that's going to take years to resolve, and that could have been resolved, much shorter with the appropriate estate planning. He's also only 57. So a lot of people always think estate documents you don't need until you get older and you're retired. But, he was only 57. Unfortunately, we've had situations where people are younger than that. So, there's never too early to start with estate documents, primarily the will. Obviously, Prince was not married. He did not have any children. He did have 6 siblings. And so that's where the courts and the lawyers and everyone else is going to try to figure out what happens to his assets. So that is something that's going to take time, and it's going to be based off of the law of Minnesota. But like I said, unless the estate documents are found, this could end up being a pretty messy situation. Chad, you have any comments on?
Yeah, one of the other things, you mentioned Michael Jackson. I thought it was interesting. I was reading that it was really difficult because he had so much music in a vault that hadn't been released yet, Prince, this is, and Michael Jackson for that matter, that it's really hard to value the estate because that's future income and future revenues that's going to come in. So yet another reason of an example of how complicated it can be. Just valuing an estate, not to mention the fact that he didn't have a will. So, but it reminded me, you know, if you look at other celebrities, there's always these stories that come out when a celebrity passes, and Michael Jackson was one. Another one was Robin Williams recently that got a lot of news, and I just read an article recently that it took them 8 months to settle the issues that were around that estate between the children and I think his second wife it was. So it's certainly not uncommon for people to pass without a will, but it always adds complications, emotional issues, and a lot of times cost, as Mike mentioned there. I had one other stat, though, because it's not just for celebrities, right? This is also for average families, and in particular, average high net worth families. CNBC found that more than a third have not used a financial expert to establish an estate plan. So it's one of those things you got to be aware of, and we're going to talk through it today.
Yeah, I mean, it's never a fun thing. No one ever wakes up on a random day and says, I need to prepare estate documents. Usually something happens to them, either a family or a friend, and realize that they need to do something. And so we're going to walk through a little bit by why you need a will, what important documents to have, how often you should review them, some personal experiences, some mistakes we've seen. I'll just give you kind of a summary from our thoughts. Before we start jumping into that, I will remind folks that we, Chad and I, are financial planners. We're not estate attorneys. So we are providing advice as financial planners. You know, we don't prepare estate documents here. Obviously, we can recommend someone if you're looking for someone, or otherwise talk to your trusted professionals, such as your financial planner or accountant, to help find a source to prepare those documents for you. So with that, I will jump right in. So the first question is, a lot of people ask, is why do you need a will or estate documents? And as Chad mentioned, majority of people we see, and the studies have shown, majority of people don't have either. And the quick answer why you need a will is that it's simply so your assets will end up with the people you want them to. Otherwise, as we're finding out with Prince's situation, really the state of Minnesota and the laws there will determine where his assets are distributed. Also, which I think is very, very important for those folks that have young children, who are essentially children under the age of 18, the importance of a will is it names a guardian for your children. And if you don't have a will and don't have a guardian named, and your children are under the age of 18, then the state you reside in, for example, we're in North Carolina, will then decide who is the guardian for your children. And that is an extremely important situation, especially if it's very important to you, who is the people or person or persons, in case something would happen to you, would help watch your children. So I think that we see that. I see that, you know, probably 75% of the clients that come in here, especially young folks, don't have estate documents, and that's something we highly recommend. Another reason why you'd have a will is not for everyone, but given recent laws, if you have assets over $5.5 million as an individual and over, I think, $10.5 to $11 million as a married couple, there are some estate planning strategies to help minimize estate taxes. And that's probably worth a separate discussion or separate podcast episode, but there are some strategies involved there. And finally, I will mention, you know, the beneficiaries you list in a will are important because that says where your assets will be distributed. But it is important to note that nowadays, with many folks having 401k and IRA accounts, your beneficiaries in those accounts, along with your life insurance, will go outside of your will. So they supersede whatever you have in your will. So you want to make sure those are consistent.
You know, as we were preparing for the show today, we were talking about how often we hear things from clients when we're meeting with them for the first time, or in our review meeting, second meeting that we have while planning, and they say, you know, we're like, you know, do you have the documents? Do you have some estate documents with you, or can you bring them with you? And they're just like, oh yeah, that's just something I hadn't got around to yet. So in fact, you know, I was looking up numbers because we hear that so often, and the number one answer to why you don't have a will, according to a survey by Rocket Lawyer, 57% of people admitting this is they just hadn't got around to making one yet. And the second reason was they just didn't feel it was very urgent. So it's an easy thing to put off. It's easy to procrastinate about. You always think, you know, we have this innate feeling that we're going to always have tomorrow to deal with things, but we encourage people to go ahead and take care of these things. And we're excited because we have a new format that we're offering now of analysis called Financial Fitness that we're going to be rolling out soon. And this is a way where that estate planning is one of those components. So it's a way for us to give you feedback regularly about where you stand with that area of your life and to make sure that you're taking care of it. The last thing I would say is it's important to try to have a will in writing. I know we're not attorneys, but I don't know how many of you, if you're movie buffs, you've watched Brewster's Millions back in 1985 or since. He, you know, was offered a proposition through a video will. But, you know, a lot of times those won't hold up unless you have a written will attached to it. So anyway, just a little side note for those that like movies.
No, that's a good point. I don't think I've ever seen that movie. I'll have to check that out.
Richard Pryor. It is okay. It's PG, too.
All right. Well, that's 13,
good. 13, maybe. PG-13.
Okay. Well, then one of my kids could potentially watch it. All right. So moving forward, so you know, you realize, okay, I need to get the state documents. You know, what do you need and what they are? So the first one, obviously, the important one is the will. We've talked about that. But effectively, in there, you're going to name your beneficiaries of your assets. You're going to name the guardian of your children. You're going to name the executor, the individual that's going to handle your estate when you do pass. You also may name, in some situations, you have minor children, in terms of a trust created at your death, to effectively not have your kids have access to the money at the ages of 18 or 21. So that's pretty much the one you'll spend most of the time on. And if you do work with an estate attorney, they'll focus most of their attention on creating this document first.
Yeah, I would say it's important to know where that will is, too, because I read an article recently that profiled a lawyer who had his own will, basically, and the only place he had it was in his computer, stored in his computer, and it was password protected, obviously, and the family had an issue. They didn't know the password, so they had to take it to a tech firm to get it hacked into, and it took them about 8 weeks before they could even get access to the will. So important to let somebody know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, you know, the executor for sure, you know, for sure, because that's the individual that's going to handle your estate, and then any important family members as well. And Chad brings up a great point, because I think a lot of people think, I got to put this in a very, very safe spot, like a safety deposit box at a bank. But the problem is, if you pass, it's really hard for someone else to get access to that location. So I recommend kind of in your house in a fire safe or something else, because I think that somewhere where people can get at it if it is needed. You know, besides the will, the other important documents are things like the financial power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney. This allows someone to make financial or healthcare decisions if you're unable to or incapacitated. A living will, which essentially details your wishes regarding life prolonging medical procedures. It's obviously difficult for a family member to make this decision without understanding your true wishes. And the last thing, which I think is as required, but we recommend, is what's called a letter of last instructions. So essentially, this would be kind of key contacts, such as your financial advisor, your lawyer, your accountant, essentially helping your executor with settling your estate if something would pass.
Yeah, with that, it reminds me of another thing I was reading about, and the rise of digital assets. So it's important to emphasize, and this is in flux, it's evolving, of how to account for these, how to store them, how to store your passwords. But this in particular situation was it dealt with a photographer who had a business where he would post pictures on Pinterest, which is a social network. And it got to the point where he had upwards of 1.5 or so million followers on his Pinterest website. It got to the point where companies were offering him to pay for advertising on his Pinterest website. And he was getting around $10,000 a month of income. So, you know, if he did not record this, the article was talking about how it was important for him to have to record it somewhere so that someone knows about this, right? Because otherwise it would be income that would not be disclosed. And there's a password, obviously, and username to get into Pinterest. So it's important to have these documented, archived somewhere, all social media accounts, picture sites, right? Because, I mean, that's where people are storing their pictures now. And sometimes that's an important memory that people want to have and look back on. I would say online journals.
Yep, that's great.
Is another example. And then most importantly, digital businesses, yep, because they have income. So,
no, those are good points. Thanks for bringing those up. The last document, which we're not going to go in detail here, but a lot of people always ask us, you know, do I need a trust? And, you know, typically I tell folks a trust, the reasons for trust are two main reasons. You know, there's other things besides this, is A, if you want to avoid probate. For example, in Prince's situation, since he doesn't have a trust, essentially his assets will be known by the public. So if you want to avoid that, a trust is beneficial. And then the second thing we see, it's common if you want to control your assets after your death. So for example, if you got divorced and got married again, and then want to make sure your kids from your original marriage receive some of the assets, you could create a trust that would allow your second spouse to enjoy the use of the assets, but then give anything left to your kids from your first marriage.
You know, one of the things we like to do is share our own personal experiences when we're talking about an issue like this. And we didn't talk about this beforehand, but Mike, I was wondering, when did you complete your first will? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. And people will laugh when they hear this. So we completed it in October 2005. Ah. And my first daughter was born in November 2005. So you could tell I'm a financial planner and that I had to have a will done and completed, or estate documents completed before the birth of our first child. So yeah. I'm definitely not in the majority in that situation.
Yeah, my situation a little different. I actually did have a will because my mother was a legal secretary her whole life. So she did teach me the benefit of having a will, but it was only for myself. So I got that first before marriage and didn't update it again. Actually, well, I'm sorry. I did update it when I got married, so it was my wife and I. But I didn't update it again until last year when my children were, three and one. So, and I wrote about that experience. But it's one of those where even as financial planners, we often are, thinking about our clients and handling other things and the busyness of life and raising kids, and we can forget to do the things we're supposed to do as well. That's why we're not our own financial advisors, and we have other people here reminding us of that. But it's just an example of how you have to jump on it. I used a first of the year cliche New Year's resolution goal to get it done. So handled some life insurance and handled estate planning documents at that point in time. And I wrote about that. But just estate planning in general is not a one-size-fits-all objective. You have to think about it, how it relates to you, and that's where a trusted attorney and financial planner can help you through that conversation of making sure you're thinking of all of the different options. I can remember now sitting in the attorney's office, discussing our healthcare power of attorney or healthcare directive, and just looking at each other and being like, well, do you want to make the decision for me? I mean, if I'm, laying in a hospital bed, how's that going to go? And we came to the conclusion, but it's unpleasant sometimes conversations to think about, but necessary. So the 2 points why I did it, and again, different ages require different objectives, but like Mike mentioned, to have a guardian for my children, and then also to have a children's trust in place that goes a little maybe more detailed, but it basically just gives them the ability to stretch withdrawals. It makes it more tax friendly for their retirement accounts. Maybe we can go into
it. Also, I think I always joke with folks that if not, then you're essentially your child gets access to the money at the age of 18 or 21. And do they have the money smarts at that age to save wisely, or are they going to have one big party that all their friends will enjoy? So sometimes it's smarter to delay the access to the money longer than normal.
It's not always how we teach them either, right? Because
exactly.
They got their own personalities. So, but the one-size-fits-all strategy, I read something else, back to the celebrity situations. I think they just get so much press, but you learn something out of it sometimes too. And Philip Seymour Hoffman, an actor that passed last year, I think it was, actually got a little creative with his will, and he listed language in it so that he had strong desires that his son be raised in either Manhattan, Chicago, or San Francisco so that he could be exposed to the culture of those cities. So I don't know if that would hold up in court, but I think it's one of those things that the family that are following you can see, hey, this was important to him or her, and it's a way that you can transfer your legacy after you're gone. It just gives instructions. That's what estate planning is all about, having control of the way that you hope that your heirs can be provided for. So back to, I guess we're going to talk about common mistakes maybe, right?
Yeah, we were, Chad and I were talking today, and we, thought about a few things that we see as planners and when folks come in, and things that they, I won't say do wrong, but just overlook. So one of the things is, the first one is someone prepares estate documents 15 or 20 years ago and haven't reviewed it in a long time. So maybe their wishes, their beneficiaries, their trustees, either passed away or they've changed and they just haven't updated that. So I think, just making sure you review it on a regular basis to make sure that it's consistent with your wishes. The second thing I always see is you tell people you talk about the estate documents, but then they have no idea where they're at. So they're really no good if no one can locate them, which may be the case with Prince. But if no one can locate them, that's important. That's obviously an issue. A number of our clients, as Chad mentioned, that work with us through our financial fitness client center, We actually have we get copies of their wills and estate documents to make sure they're consistent with their wishes, and review those annually as well. Another thing we often I commonly see is that individuals get divorced, and they may change their will, but they forget to change the beneficiaries on their life insurance or retirement accounts. And so you can change your will to someone else, not, you know, other than your ex-spouse. But if your ex-spouse is listed as the beneficiary on the IRA or life insurance, it doesn't matter. So they'll get access to the money. So keep in mind, you know, it's not only the will, but it's also beneficiary designations as well. And then the final thing, which we've seen, which is unfortunate, is when people, especially for retirement accounts, they forget to list a beneficiary. When they may have children or someone else that could be use of those that would have where the money they want to go to. Unfortunately, when that happens, money may still end up going to them through the estate, but from a tax perspective, it results in a much higher tax bill, because essentially you have to pull the money out within, let's say, 5 years versus potentially 50 years. So we've seen situations where clients have had to pay over hundreds of thousands of taxes more than they would have gotten if someone would have spent the 10 minutes to fill out a beneficiary form. Yeah. So that's a painful mistake.
So now that we've covered all these issues, what are some things that you've listed out here or that you've seen that you think people can do to get prepared?
You know, it's simple, but obviously, first of all, if you don't have it, get estate documents. And I say that, you know, work with a professional. I know there's online sources, but I highly recommend working with a professional. And just because this is a one-time event, you want to make sure it's done right and not take the risk that something online is an issue. So that's the first part. So once they're done, then the next part is to review those, you know, estate documents annually, as well as review your beneficiaries annually to make sure that they're consistent with your wishes. Because obviously those things can change. And sometimes, unfortunately, you may have to go to your HR department and ask for the form, or you may have to go other places. It's not as readily available, but it's worth the time.
I'll add in there contingent beneficiaries too. I don't know if we've mentioned that or not, but that often we will meet with people and see that they have primary beneficiaries. Ooh, does that sound English there? Primary beneficiaries, but they don't have contingent beneficiaries listed, which are basically that second line. So very low odds, of course, but that was one of the things my wife and I discussed when we were taking our first trip without our kids. Like, what if something happened to us while we were without our kids, right? So low odds, but something to think about.
Yep. No, that's important. And I think also is important is once you've everything put in place is to let close family members or your executor know where the original copies are, a document, not copies, where the original document is. Because if you hide it somewhere, like Chad mentioned, it's on your computer or it's someplace they can't get at, then there's really no use of it if something would happen to you. So make sure it's somewhere where they know and they can get access to it in an unfortunate incident.
Yep. So even though I think that wraps up a little bit of the estate planning conversation, but we've been talking about having a plan after death. We want to also remind you, as we've talked about in other podcasts, it's important to have a plan while you're still alive, right? There are so many things, especially when you're approaching retirement, so much flexibility, tax flexibility you have now with withdrawal strategies, when you take Social Security, what your spending will look like in retirement. Also, what does your saving rate look like now if you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s? Are you on the right track of where you want to be? I read a survey. Well, actually, I'll ask you, Mike. Mm-hmm. If you had to, the Employee Benefit Research Institute conducted this in 2015, and they said, what percentage of workers are very confident they will have enough money in retirement? What do you think, percentage of workers?
To be honest, I'd probably say 20, 30%.
You're right on with these statistics.
I think I might heard it before.
22%.
I actually heard something like that with doctors. You know, doctors making, you know, close to $1 million a year, that they were, it's around 20 to 30%. You know, yeah. And it's just because people, unless they have a plan in place, it's hard to feel confident that you can reach your goals.
That's right.
So, sorry, Chad, I should have guessed a different number.
One of these times I'm going to ask you
I'm not going to know
things
it.
And you're not going to know it.
One of these
I'm
times,
waiting
yeah.
for that day. So
it'll happen, and trust me, it will.
So if you have any questions about these topics, about your current plan, or how we could help you get to the place you want to be, feel free to reach out to us. You can call us or email us or visit us at financialsymmetry.com, and we'd be happy to help or find someone who can. So we look forward to you joining us the next time, and I'll have a new nickname for Mike.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is a property of Financial Symmetry Incorporated, with production by Fat Cat Strategies. The hosts and guests of this show do not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through this podcast. This production is for entertainment purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. Find out more about our advisors at financialsymmetry.com.